Greece throws the whole grand plan to fix the euro into doubt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Just when everything started to look up in Europe, the Prime Minister of Greece says he's going to ask voters whether they approve of the tough cuts he just got through Parliament to get more bailout money. He wants a referendum. And if the answer is no, well, I'll let Marketplace's Stephen Beard tell you.
60% of the Greek people, according to the opinion polls, oppose the second bailout plan because it entails another 100,000 job losses in the public sector and big pension cuts. To ask the people directly in a referendum whether this is what they want seems like political suicide. But Greek journalist Martina Stevas says the Prime Minister is facing so much opposition he's decided to take a high-risk gamble.
He's saying this is the deal. I believe it's the best deal we can get. If you don't like it, you can vote against it in this referendum. If you do like it, vote in favour of it and stop complaining.
The referendum is likely to be in January. If the Greek people vote no, that could lead to a disorderly default and Greece's ejection from the eurozone. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And to see how markets are reacting, let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower, as you might imagine. London down 3% right now. Frankfurt down more than 5%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tumbled 276 points to close at 11,955. Well, there's a big change happening today at Neiman Marcus, the exclusive department store which for years has only accepted American Express, Neiman's own credit card, or cash, is going mainstream. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Today, Neiman Marcus department stores start taking Visa and MasterCard. Vincent Kwan teaches business at New York's Fashion Institute of Technology.
This is a classic marketing tale of, gee, we've got the older customer, she's aging, who's going to replace her?
How about a bigger chunk of the 99%? Neiman's profits have been weak while much of the luxury sector is booming. Kwan says the department store needs to attract younger customers who may not use American Express.
By expanding beyond their normal cards, they can maybe even target a customer who would not normally purchase at a Neiman Marcus store.
Daniel Furtado is an analyst with Jefferies & Company. He says Neiman's move
makes it harder for Amex to explain that they are the premier card issuer.
But easier for the holders of 3.5 billion Visa and MasterCards to shop at the slightly less exclusive department store. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com.
There's a new book out today on the life and career of former President John F. Kennedy. It goes into great detail about Kennedy's childhood, his rise to power in Massachusetts, his race for the White House, and, of course, his presidency. Kennedy is thought of today as a liberal icon, but the book explains his economics were anything but liberal. Here to talk about that with us is the author of Jack Kennedy, Elusive Hero. That would be Chris Matthews from MSNBC's Hardball. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, we know about Kennedy as a visionary, a foreign policy president. What was his economic legacy?
Well, it was surprising because this is one area where Republicans of the supply side school have championed his legacy. He really did subscribe to Keynesian beliefs that the government needed to stimulate the economy. And, of course, he believed in the space program for all kinds of reasons, that being one of them. He believed in a big defense buildup for that reason, too. He thought they'd all help produce jobs. And he did, in 1963, come out for a tax cut. Now, the irony of that time was that business opposed it. They were very much fiscalists in those days, and they wanted to get the budget deficit down, even though it was rather modest by today's terms. So, ironically, he was at the time perceived to be a liberal with policies today which are perceived to be conservative.
Yeah, he was critical, you write, of the New Deal and Franklin Roosevelt's economics, saying, quote, they put emphasis on rights rather than responsibilities.
That is so Jack Kennedy. And I think that it's hard to put a ideological tag on that kind of thinking, but he really believed in individual responsibility. In fact, the ask not exhortation in the inaugural was about individual people doing something, not asking for relief or welfare or some kind of pork barrel. It was about doing something yourself and for your country. And I think that was really him. And I don't know what kind of a tag you can put on that.
Do you think that he understood the troubles that ordinary Americans went through? This guy was a war hero, a Harvard graduate, born into a very powerful family.
I think he understood the irony of life's unfairness. I think he certainly knew he was born to privilege. In fact, remember that great line in his first race for Congress when all the other fellas who had not fought in the war, and he had, and that was, of course, his great strength in that campaign. It was a khaki election, as they said back in the Boer War days. I mean, he was running as a returned serviceman. He said, I guess I'm the only one here that didn't come up the hard way.
What do you think today's politicians on both sides can learn from Jack Kennedy?
Wow, guts. Be a war hero. Be something of an intellectual, a reader of history. Have the perspective of your times, but also what came before. I think being honest with the people and about your own mistakes. Jack Kennedy was essentially a patriot. And that's why I think most Republicans look back on him as not just their favorite Democrat, probably their favorite American president.
Chris Matthews, author of Jack Kennedy, Elusive Hero, thanks so much for talking with us.
Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much.
And finally, to New York City, 79th Street on the Upper East Side, to be exact. That's where Mayor Michael Bloomberg lives. And apparently, he's famous for giving out full-size candy bars at Halloween, not just those little bite-sized ones. But last night, according to the New York Times, the candy giver-outer at the mayor's house, who was dressed up as Elmo, was giving out the same old mini Kit Kats and Tootsie Rolls that you can get at a common millionaire's house. Still, the candy was all given out to trick-or-treaters, $1,000 worth, according to police. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Trees come down, beer prices go up, even fires get a little hotter and a little faster in an election year.
From the point of view of a fireman, he's going to have a much more difficult year if it's an election year.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Elections and their strange side effects. It's what? Yes, Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.